Well, when I was looking at the lectionary text to decide where we would look for God's truth for us for this point, I must confess it did cross my mind momentarily to talk about that whole shaking the dust off your feet, and then I realized the only reason why I wanted to was to tell a particular story, so I figured I'd just tell the story and then get on with the sermon. When my brother was in Bible college, he and his friends in residence, as sometimes happens, were discussing some theological point and got to sort of the crux of the matter, which deeply offended someone who quite noticeably walked to the door of the residence room, brushed off his feet, and left, apparently leaving the dust of his sandals as a testimony against them, which I thought was just a bit much for any Bible college student, but, oh well, we do what we do sometimes. And instead, one of the things that struck me out of these three texts together was the whole idea of humility. And I suppose I could have preached a sermon called We Should Be Humble or something, but the thing that kept coming back was the title, Don't Get Cocky, which seems kind of peculiar. But when we look at these three texts, and we have to look into the future a bit when we read in Samuel, but we see, in a very real sense, three different people, David, Paul, and Jesus, at the top of something, like at a pinnacle of something. In this case, David has just been anointed for the third time, actually, as king over the nation of Israel, as it turns out eventually. And when we look down the road, we see he has a certain amount of difficulty. In the other two texts, we see the difficulties happening right there within them. And as I was looking at them, what struck me was how easy it is for us that when we know we're right, when we know we are where we should be, when we have, figuratively speaking, as David, been anointed to do what it is we're going to do, it's very easy for us to get, well, to get cocky. And I think when we look forward into the life of David, and we're going to be hitting the highlights of that for the rest of the summer, at least for the lectionary, has us very much in Samuel. So we'll be seeing some of the highs and the lows of David, and we'll realize that while he was named as a man after God's own heart, he was certainly fully human and made some very profound mistakes. And so you wonder, when he was at this point anointed again to be king, what did he think? What did he feel like? Did he have that sense of humility, or did he think, I have now arrived and I can now go and do whatever it is I need to do? It's difficult for us at all stages of life, but particularly when we're young, to realize the fact that we're right doesn't necessarily mean that we can do what we want to. And a friend of mine was talking about one of his children who had recently been released from a position she had, one of her second or third jobs, so still in school, a part-time kind of thing. And primarily she was released because when she interacted with customers in a retail setting, she didn't do it the way the company wanted her to do it. She didn't greet them the way they wanted, and she didn't want them to be sort of sent on their way as happy customers the way that they wanted. And her response to her father, as she was talking about it to her father, was, but my customers all liked it, and they enjoyed it, and all the rest. And his response, which I think was quite wise, was, well, they didn't hire you to be innovative. And it wasn't that she was stealing. It wasn't that she was being rude. It was, this particular company wants things done in a particular way that isn't evil, that doesn't force you to tell lies or anything like that. They just want it this way. And so she saw what was better and figured because it was better, it had to be better, and it wasn't. Now, you run into that frequently when you're young, because when you're young, you know much more than when you're old. When I was young, oh my goodness, I was such a fountain of knowledge and wisdom, I can't believe that people didn't seek me out for, you know, miles around. The older I get, the more I realize that I do know quite a few things, but not as many as I knew when I was 15 or when I was 18 or 19. But often what I knew was in fact right. But how you discuss things, how you point out to people that you're right, is just as important as what you actually do. When we look at our gospel reading, we have Jesus, who by this time is moving into his public ministry. He has done miracles. He has been named at least somewhat under the table, if you will. People are already starting to go, I think this might be the Messiah. And so he goes home, and what he gets there is, well, who's this guy? We know his brothers, we know his sisters, we know where he's from, we know what he does. Why should we listen to him? And Jesus says, only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house, is a prophet without honor. And I wonder if Jesus was tempted to prove how right he was. Because he knew who he was. He knew that he could have angels come and defend him. This is someone who knows he can raise people from the dead. I wonder if he was tempted to just show them. But he didn't. In fact, in this text, in this translation, it says he could not do any miracles there except lay hands on a few people. Because he, in a very real sense, submitted his power to their lack of faith. So if we have David on the one hand, who seems to have let power in some ways go to his head, at least in a couple of places, and Jesus, who is this sort of perfect example, perhaps, at least in this way, of allowing people to be who they are, then we look at Paul in this rather problematic passage, according to some people, about who actually goes to the third heaven or to paradise or whatever it is. And I think it's fairly clear that it's Paul, and because someone in the throes of a vision may or may not know whether it's a vision or a reality, and when it comes right down to it, it doesn't make any difference. I mean, the experience was such that he experienced this third heaven, the highest of heavens, depending on the translation. But God, knowing Paul, kept him from becoming conceited, from becoming cocky, by giving him a thorn in the flesh, which is such a evocative phrase. I mean, we have no idea what this is, other than it was something that weighed heavily enough on Paul that he prayed explicitly 3 times that it be removed, whatever it was, and God made it perfectly clear, saying, no, this is why you have this. Because after the experiences you've had, if you don't have something to keep you grounded, I don't know what you're going to say. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know, you know, how over the top you're going to end up. God says, I don't want you to be cocky. Well, Jesus didn't need a thorn in his flesh to keep him grounded. And Paul did. And I'm hoping we don't. One of the difficulties of knowing what's right is knowing how to communicate that in a way that it'll be heard best by other people. And as far as I can tell, the only real way to get there is through a deep sense of humility. A deep sense that says, what I have to say is more important than me. And so when we're thinking about sharing what we believe, and I'm not talking so much about buttonholing strangers, although if that's a gift that some Christians have, that's tremendous. But most of us don't. Most of us need to be alert to those opportunities when we can talk about what we believe, about why we come to church on a Sunday morning on a beautiful day like today. You know, why aren't we at a lake or something? Well, we need to be very careful how we communicate that so that it can be heard best by the person we communicate it to. One of my professors summed up bad apologetics, like bad defense of what we believe, as the orientation that says that I'm right and you're stupid. And we all know people who are like that. Or at least, I suspect we've all met at least one person who's like that. That when they're telling you what needs to be done, the way they communicate it just makes you feel dumb, or you know they think you're dumb for not knowing it. And it's a very uncomfortable place to be in. And the only way you get there is by having this sense that what you have to say and you are of supreme importance. When, for us, when we talk about our faith, what we want to talk about is of supreme importance, but we are not so much. It's important for us to get past this sense, this cocky sense, that what we have to say just is of ultimate importance, so people don't have to like it because we're right. Well, when we're talking about what we believe, I suspect we are right. But we're not talking about such an easily demonstrable true fact as 2 plus 2 equals 4. We're talking about our experience. We're talking about a life lived in relationship with God that has brought meaning to our lives, that has allowed us to accomplish things we never would have been able to otherwise. But we need to talk about that in a way that doesn't put people off. It's difficult sometimes for us to believe that we need to perhaps wait for another day to have the full conversation we'd like to. It's difficult for us sometimes to understand that we're not the person to expose a friend or an acquaintance or a coworker or whatever it might be to the full wonders of a life in Christ. But we're just part of that process. But if we remind ourselves that we're not the only arrow in God's quiver, as it sometimes said, that we're part of that whole process, it becomes so much easier for us to take a step back and take a step back into a humble realization that we were gently called into the faith, that we were gently corrected more often than not, whether it's by our parents or by other people. Most of the correction we get is fairly gentle. We need to remember that. And we need to be willing to do the same. The fact that we've caught on and caught a hold of the ultimate truth doesn't mean we can bang people over the head with it. And by the way, I don't think we are. I don't think as a group we are, because this tends to be a challenge sort of the younger you are. You've discovered this wonderful life in Christ. It's made a whole bunch of things sensible, and you just don't understand why other people don't see it. And so sometimes you can get a little excited in your transmission of this information, and sometimes be a little off. Well, for us, who are less likely to do that, just because the experience of living with other people helps us realize that just because you're right doesn't mean people want to listen to you, we're perhaps less likely to fall into this. But I still thought it's a worthwhile message for us to think about today, because this is something I still struggle with. One of the things that I remember in a book of some kind of military something or other, of this little throwaway remark that has stuck with me forever. And it said, a colonel may not always be right, but a colonel is always a colonel. And it's the reverse. It's looking at it from the other side. That when we go to somebody and they don't want to hear what we have to say, they're still allowed to be that person that they are. And by getting on a high horse and saying, we know and you don't, we're better off to say, I need to figure out how to say that better. I need to work on a way that I can help this person hear what I have to say, whether it's about faith or whether it's about ethics or whether it's about anything, in a way that they will want to hear. And humility is what will do that for us. Nobody likes being around people who are cocky. We just don't. I mean, we see it all over the place. When celebrities of any kind, whether they're actors or musicians or athletes, whatever it is, these people that just project this kind of arrogance, when they fall, there's no other way to describe the news reports than gleeful. We don't like people like that, So we really don't want to be people like that. We do have something of profound value to communicate to our friends, in some cases some of our family members, our associates, co-workers, acquaintances, people we just meet once. The reality of our life in Christ is something well worth sharing. But let's share it from that stance of humility. Let's try and be more like Jesus, less like David, so we don't end up like Paul with a thorn of some sort. And for Jesus, I wonder how painful it was for him to allow their unbelief to prevent him from doing some good things in his hometown. But he allowed their unbelief to do that because he respected them, because he loved them. Humility. Humility and love will never let us so forcefully put forth a message that it's damaging to anyone. Rather, it'll remind us that in the same way that we were gently called, we can be part of that same gentle call. So let's not be cocky about what we know, and let's let people be the people they are as we tell them about what it is that we know that makes our lives worth living. Amen.